Just a heads up, the Razzball podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. Week 2 was strange, interesting, and just kind of weird. Like the girl you dated in college who was studying funeral home management. Some guys broke out, some guys got broken, and some guys broke your heart. We're done, David Wilson. Done. Murph's going to chime in with a carnage report and tell you how the injuries from this weekend will affect you going forward. And by affect, I mean affecting your team, not your psyche. Especially if you have Ray Rice and don't have Pierce as a handcuff. Yeah, his hip is fine. That's what I want out of my first round running back, hip questions in week 2. Sky will fill you in on waiver wire plays of the week. And of course, JB and I will go through the weekly notes. Since Kyle, the super producer, is a massive Eagles fan, we'll be sure to break down that game with extra attention to detail. From the DraftKings.com studio, it's the Razzball Football Podcast for week 2. Here we go.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
The Razzball Podcast.
All right. I'm kind of pleased to be joined by JP Gilpin on Twitter at JP Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. And I'm only kind of pleased because I know there's going to be David Wilson jokes. Before you even get to that, I'm just going to say this, JB. David Wilson and I are done. Like dinner. It's over. It's over.
So when you went into the hot tub, you got your drink, and then did you also bring a toaster and just kind of drop it in there?
That's the best you got? You've had like 24 hours to come up with a joke, and that's what you got, JB?
I don't want to make you feel too bad. I think actions and terrible games speak for themselves.
All right.
So I'm happy with that. Now, listen, I will say this, though. He's as good a buy low even for me, because I think he's a flex play next week because he's playing my terrible Panthers. And, God, we look awful. So I think they're going to feed him the ball. I don't think there's any way the Giants go 0-3. I think he's going to be a big play.
All right. We'll get to that when we touch on the Denver Giants game. But I appreciate you not rubbing my nose too much into it.
Nah, you know, I do like you. I don't want you to fire me from the podcast.
How can I fire you if I don't pay you to do this?
you could just claim there's technical difficulties every week when David Wilson does that.
No, we are very happy to have you on today. So let's kick this right off. But real quick, talk to me what's happening in the Razzball Commentator Leagues right now.
Yeah, RCL Leagues are up. We've got, if you haven't seen it yet, we've got a tab where you can check the standings and see how your points are stacking up against all the other teams. As I put in the post last week, we got 300 teams. And so far this week, we had three teams top 200. One of them was Prezi, you know, a big frequent commenter, so good for him. But the top scorer was Chris Schultz's team, putting up 213 points, huge week through Sunday, you know. Had Deshaun Jackson, your boyfriend, go off. Marshawn Lynch had a huge game. So good job, Chris Schultz's team, killing it this week. He went from 12th place in his league to having the biggest RCL scoring day in week 2 through Sunday.
All right, let's start on the notes with the biggest game of the week. That was probably Seattle versus San Francisco. What did you see in that game, JB?
I saw my hopes and dreams go down the toilet. As a Kaepernick owner in a bunch of leagues, Wilson owner in a couple of leagues, I, of course, don't have Marshawn Lynch or Seattle's defense in any leagues. Those are the only guys that did anything. Just a brutal, brutal game for fantasy players unless you had Marshawn Lynch.
But that's a game. That's an old-school football game. Those are probably, you could argue the top two teams in the NFL this year. I didn't expect much more than that. I'm actually kind of surprised Lynch did as well as he did. The only thing I'm kind of curious about, why didn't we see any Kristen Michael?
I think they're just saving him in case something happens to Lynch. I mean, Lynch is healthy. He's able to take that load. I don't know. I don't have a better answer. I know you love Michael. I think he's really talented as well, but I don't see him getting much of the field unless Lynch gets hurt, and that's probably what they're saving him for.
Okay, not much to talk about in this game, but just real quick, I'm assuming you're not worried about Bolden or Gore.
I'm not. Obviously, Gore is still a stud. You know, two straight games where you got against the Packers where you know it's going to be all throwing, and then against the toughest defense in the league on the road. Not worried about Gore. And then same with Bolden. You know, had Sherman all over him. Seattle's defense just crushed him. I'm actually going to try to buy Bolden wherever I can because I was really impressed with week one. I think he and Kaepernick have a good rapport. I think they go off against the Colts next week.
I agree. I like Bolden as well if you can go out and get him. Let's quickly bounce back to last Thursday, the Jets-New England game. That was an ugly game. But one thing I did prior to that was I went nuts on Edelman everywhere, picked him up in as many leagues as I could, and especially playing a lot of PPR. Because I'm in a lot of RCL and Rasball-related leagues, and we tend to favor point per reception, so I was very happy with the 13 catches for Edelman. My question to you, though, JB, what's going to happen to that New England offense going forward? Are you panicking on Brady yet, or do you think Gronkowski coming back, hopefully week three, if not week four, is going to try and right that ship a little bit?
I'm not panicking in the least, and I mean, I'm right there with you on Edelman. I actually started him in the Writers League, which helped get me a win. I'm not panicking at all. Like I've been saying, I'm big on Tompkins still. I think if you've dropped him, or I don't think anyone's traded him because he's so low down there, but you got to hold on to him. I think he's talented. I thought Dotson looked talented. Yeah, they're raw. But, I mean, it's easy to forget that it was a short week for the Patriots. It was pouring. It's against a really good Jets defense that I think is a little underrated. So I'm not worried at all. They got a long week to get ready, and they're playing the Buccaneers, who look terrible. So I'm not panicking in the least.
I'm going to throw one name to keep an eye on. Sean Hill from the Jets. Raw physical specimen, very talented. But I got a feeling I could see Geno Smith starting to develop a relationship with him, and especially rookie quarterbacks a lot of times tend to latch on to a one particular receiver. And since there's just not a lot of receiving talent there, I could see Hill having some value. And he's a guy who could score a lot of touchdowns, potentially. They will at some point move the ball. You can't have no one getting any points on the team. So just Hill's a guy to watch.
Yeah, I buy that. And real quick, Amendola out at least 3 weeks. There's kind of debate if it's a hernia or groin pull or hip or whatever. It just sounds miserable if you're a dude.
Well, sorry to cut you off, JB, but I've heard 3 weeks, I've heard 6 weeks, I've heard 10 weeks. So at this point, I'm just not counting on Amendola whatsoever.
Exactly, and I think that is a huge boost to Edelman because he's going to be the only slot guy.
All right, let's talk about one of the games that was great for fantasy this week. It was Washington versus Green Bay. I'll let you talk about James Jones in a second, but it was good to see RG3 shaking some of that rust off. He looked in fine form. Eddie Lacy, though, bit of a bummer with that concussion. That was a hard hit. He really got drilled. Hopefully he's going to be okay. I actually took a chance and I started him in a lot of leagues because I don't really like the Redskins defense this year. What do you think about that game in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I would have started Lacy in every league I had him. Unfortunately, I don't have him in a single league. I was really iffy just on the whole Green Bay running back situation heading into the season, but I thought Lacy looked great against the 49ers. So just real unfortunate that he got hurt. And Starks, man, he looked really good, but I just don't buy it. We've seen this from Starks and all these other Green Bay running backs before. There's no way I'm starting them against Cincinnati. But overall, the game, you know, Washington needs to have a good first half. They've been horrible in the first half. So RG3, yeah, getting a lot of junk time. Garcon getting a lot of junk time in receiving. I think he's a little bit of a sell high because I don't think the Redskins are going to be this bad in the first half, you know, the rest of the way.
No, but I think that Garcon is the number one receiver there. I understand selling high, and if someone did give you a great offer, obviously it's worth considering, but I like Garcon a lot this year.
I mean, I do too. Foot injury is always going to be a concern there as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't just be giving them away, obviously, but if someone's going to give you, you know, high wide receiver two value, then I'd look to move them.
Ugly, ugly game, Cleveland and Baltimore. I said in the intro today, Ray Rice, the hip injury, they're saying he's fine. If you got Ray Rice, you better have Bernard Pierce, because anytime a guy with that kind of mileage on him, people say, oh, no, Rice doesn't have that many miles. Look at all the receptions. Look what he did in college. There's a lot of wear on him, and Pierce is very talented. Hip injury in week two, if that lingers, you could see a lot more Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, totally agree. If Rice is out or is in any, if there's any murmurs of him being limited, I think Pierce is a must start against the Texans. I know the Texans are a pretty good defense, but they've been a little shaky so far this year. And Pierce, I mean, he's a monster. So if he gets the start and it's looking like he's going to get the majority of touches, I think you have to play him.
If you play, if you're in a dynasty league where you keep, you know, 15, 20 guys, Bernard Pierce should be on your radar, as should Kristen Michael. I picked up Bernard Pierce in a lot of leagues this year. I have him as my 13th, 14th guy. I just don't see Rice staying healthy, and if he doesn't, I could see Pierce being one of the big breakouts this year. Jordan Cameron looked amazing. Are you fully vested in him now? Are you in on Jordan Cameron at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I remember our very first podcast of the year, I said I wasn't really buying it, and then I saw what they were doing in preseason, and I think the next time I was on 2 weeks later, I said I've completely 180'd, and I bought it in the preseason. I got him in some leagues. I thought he looked great. Even though this was a terrible game, he performed. I think having Josh Gordon back next week is only going to help. I think he's as good a tight end starter as there is.
St. Louis, Atlanta, lots to talk about here, but real quick, what's happening with S-Jax, with Steven Jackson?
Yeah, I saw he hurt his thigh. I honestly don't know his status for next week yet, but he's looked good while he's played, and this has always been kind of, he gets dinged up, but he seems to play, so I think he'll probably be out there next week, but I'm not sure yet.
Who'd carry the rock if it's not him? Because Jaquizz Rodgers can't touch the ball 20 times a game. Just, he's 5'5".
Yeah, I think it's just going to be one of those committees. Tons of passing. If Jackson's out, I mean, it's going to pain me, but I'm going to say you got to try Roddy White probably again if Jackson's out. I mean, they're just going to have to throw. I mean, Snelling maybe gets a couple touches as well. But just no one you want to play for fantasy, that's for sure.
All right, Julio looked fantastic. Talk to me about Roddy White.
Yeah, the ankle injury, I don't have a number in front of me of how many snaps he played, but I said in my last second decisions article yesterday that I would still play him, but I just kind of to spread my bets, I benched him in one league for T.Y. Hilton and played him in another, and luckily Hilton had a big game. But if Jackson's playing next week, I think I'm still going to leave White on my bench. If he has a good game, I'll be happy with it and be ready to start him the rest of the year. But if he doesn't, then you're feeling fine. You know, I kind of want to see it. I want to see him healthier, hopefully. But yeah, just brutal start for him.
Are you concerned with Jared Cook?
A little. I thought this was going to be a huge game. I played him over Julius Thomas in a couple leagues, which was horrible. Tavon Austin, 12 targets, you know, and Jared Cook only had, I believe, 4 and only had one catch. So maybe Atlanta was just scheming to take care of him. You know, Atlanta coming off a win or a loss against the Saints, and they were scheming against Jimmy Graham. They probably left, you know, a little bit of that tight end coverage defense in their playbook. I'm worried.
And that's exactly what my point was going to be. So I'm not concerned with Cook. I think their plan was to take him out. Givens had a great game. But I think what you're going to see here now is the beginning of the evolution of Tavon Austin. PPR or not, he's a very special talent. They're going to try and get him the ball in a lot of unique ways. The fact that it's only his second game, 12 targets, six receptions. I think he had a couple carries, too, and a couple touchdowns. Look out for Tavon Austin going forward.
Yeah, and he's a guy I was talking up in the preseason. I thought he'd get a ton of catches, and it's looking like he's on his way to that.
All right, what we really need to do now is slow everything down and really break down this Philadelphia Eagle loss to San Diego Chargers.
I think
I won't really do that to Kyle.
I hear some cursing in the background.
Yeah, the look I'm getting right now, if I could... you know, I got to start, like, tweeting out pictures from the studio or something.
Yeah, just terrible defense from the Eagles. You know, lucky for me and what I said in my last second decision, Philip Rivers, was a good start, had a big game.
He's still talented. I still think San Diego is not very good, but Rivers can put up yards, although the Eagles' defense, there is no pressure there whatsoever. I think it's going to be a long year for them. Oh, Kyle, man. Kyle is really upset right now. He's putting the Hulk gloves on. Oh, shit. Don't come in this. Kyle, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to move on. Real quick, though, DeSean Jackson, big breakout this year, obviously, especially with I'm spacing on his name, the other wide receiver getting hurt, Macklin getting hurt. Obviously, Jackson's going to have a big year, but, man, he could have a really, really big year unless teams can figure out how to take him out. But that offense is just fun to watch. And the Eagles are going to be in every game because, you know, in terms of quick strike and being able to get right back in it. The only question I had here, Celek was a big play for me week one, but he disappeared here in week two. Are you worried about Brent Celek at all?
He's a guy that was so far down the tight end totem pole that, I mean, I didn't have him in any leagues. I went for other high upside guys. I guess technically I'd be worried, but I don't have him anywhere, so because I didn't really buy him to be a consistent option anyway.
I waited a lot this year for tight end just because after Jimmy Graham, to me, there was a lot of guys. You know, I got Cook in this league. I got Celek in that league. Another guy I have in a couple leagues, and let's move to the Chicago-Minnesota game, is Martellus Bennett. The reason I picked him up was I have Gronk in a lot of leagues. So I like the upside of Bennett as probably the second receiver in that Chicago offense, and he's done it. His problem has always been his skill is there. Very talented, big guy, moves real well, but he drops the ball a lot. I know you're not big on Bennett, but I like Martellus Bennett. If he's still available, I think he could be useful all season long.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I just think that there's, you know, whatever. I mean, if you're in a 14-16 team league, sure, but lower than that, I think there's going to be consistently 12 other tight ends I like more.
Okay. Anyone else in that Chicago-Minnesota game that's worth talking about? Because everyone was kind of who we thought they'd be, I felt, in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Kyle Rudolph gets a touchdown. You know, that's what he does. He either scores a touchdown or doesn't do anything. I just thought it was interesting that Matt Forte got 11 catches on 11 targets. So perfect batting average there. He's going to be used a lot in the passing game. I thought he was a great value. Unfortunately, didn't get him on any teams. But I think he's going to be a real good PPR player in that Trestman offense.
Okay. Carolina-Buffalo, before you ride your motorcycle off a cliff, I want to say this about Buffalo. They've been building a lot of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Both lines are very good. It's Buffalo, so it's easy to dismiss them. I've been high on EJ Manuel since the draft. And I think that, you know, my concern there from a Buffalo point of view was could Stevie Johnson stay healthy? And whether he did or didn't, who would be the second option? So before you start crying into your beer about your Carolina Panthers, I think Buffalo's a lot better than people realize. And also, if you've got a 15 spot on your bench and you're looking for a wide receiver who has some upside that's probably available, Robert Woods, the second-round draft pick, had a nice game yesterday, and I see him starting to develop some chemistry with EJ Manuel. So just wanted to say that before you got all wham-wham about your Panthers.
Okay, so I've got to be a little bit limited on my David Wilson jokes, but we can just shit on the Panthers. Oh, we look terrible.
No, I'm not. Well,
I'm kidding. We look terrible. Terrible execution, terrible coaching. Couldn't play defense when it mattered. I completely agree with you on Woods. I think you called him out as kind of a deep guy to keep on your radar in the preseason. So good call there. Just the Panthers look terrible. That's all I have to say on that. And good for Stevie Johnson getting that late touchdown. He was a guy I liked in the preseason as a good value because people were passing on him with the uncertainty of Manuel, but he's looking good.
And Spiller looked good.
Yeah, he did. And Jackson actually looked pretty good too as kind of, you know, your bye week flex play if you need him, you know, deeper in the season.
Yeah, he could have some value there. I don't think Carolina is as bad as I mean, look, you know, I don't have a team. I play fantasy football. That's pretty much it. But I think when you look at your own team, you're always a little bit more critical. I think Carolina's actually been building a very solid talent base. I don't know if Ron Rivera is the coach to take them to playoff caliber win totals. But listen, I actually, there's a lot of guys I like on Carolina, a lot of guys I liked on Buffalo. It was a game I kept my eye on during the early games yesterday.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just murmuring how disappointing a loss that was still. Sorry.
All right. Another guy I had in a lot of leagues from the Houston Texans is DeAndre Hopkins. Now, normally, in the past, I would avoid especially rookie wide receivers, but Tavon Austin, DeAndre Hopkins, college offenses are so, I guess I should actually say NFL offenses now mimic college offenses so much that guys can come in. Hopkins looked amazing, 13 targets. Looks like they may finally have a complement to AJ in Houston. And obviously he's gotten past the concussion issues. But boy, he looked good.
He did look good, and getting the game-winning touchdown, like you said, 13 targets. It was the same as Andre Johnson got, and he outperformed him. He's probably out there in a lot of leagues. I think you got to get him.
All right. Also, Ben Tate. I started him in a lot of leagues. I think he's going to see the ball a lot more going forward. People are still down on Foster. If someone wants to trade you Foster, I'll take Foster, because I think if Tate is going to get you know, that many touches, although he only had 9 carries, but if he's going to be more involved, which they said he will be, I think it's going to allow Foster to be more productive throughout the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, yeah, you said, you know, well, you said Tate only had the 9 carries, but his first carry for 60 yards, I think he gets the ball a lot, especially when Houston's up in game. I thought Houston was going to really put away Tennessee in this game, and it stayed close, so... in games where the Texans are up, I think Ben Tate, you know, if there's matchups where it looks like the Texans are just going to wallop who they're playing, I think Tate's definitely a play those weeks.
I think Tate is a flex starter every week going forward. That's my position on Ben Tate.
Interesting. I wouldn't go quite that far, but pretty close.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. You can also, again, follow my man at JB Gilpin if you have daily fantasy questions. I got to tell you, JB, I played a lot of DraftKings during the baseball season this year, but I am absolutely hook, line, and sinkered in football. I'm having such a blast playing DraftKings.com for fantasy football.
Yeah, DraftKings is awesome. You can, it's fun trying to pick value guys and then pairing them with, you know, the elite guys. Unfortunately for me, while my whole team did really well in my picks this week, I went with Terrell Pryor as kind of a lower option QB. Oh, that one pained me. But we were just talking about Ben Tate. I thought he was a really good value at running back. I think he was, you know, in that batch of the lowest priced running backs you can get. And he had a pretty good game. So my team did all right. I played in a $5 flea flicker. Just finished out of the money, but did pretty well. Had Dez Bryant, had LeSean McCoy. So it's fun picking, you can pick the studs that, you know, you wish you could have gotten in your draft.
And you've probably played at DraftKings, but if you haven't, here's a quick recap. It's daily fantasy. You get a salary cap for the day, $50,000. So yesterday I had Aaron Rodgers in one of my games. He was $10,000. I had David Wilson. Don't even go there, JP. But he was, you know, a really good value, as was Tate. So that's what I was trying to balance out, guys who could potentially have big games. Thought Wilson would play angry against Denver. What do you want from me? So I did really well in DraftKings. And the buy-in started as little as $2. I love playing in the $2 leagues, but if you want a little bit more action, there's $5 buy-ins all the way up to a couple $100. They have big, big contests. We're going to keep you apprised of all the big contests they have throughout the season. Daily Fantasy, if you haven't tried it yet and you love fantasy, get in there.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Like I said, the $5 contest I was in had 4,700 people play. First place was a $4,000 grand prize. You can win a ton of money, and it's just a lot of fun. It's got live scoring. You follow it along with your fantasy teams. Easy way to win back your fantasy dues if you drafted David Wilson. Okay, I'm done.
The Razzball Podcast.
All right, back to the NFL notes. Let's talk about the Dolphins and Colts. Mike Wallace, big game for him.
Yeah, I called him a bench. I thought the Colts would take a page out of the Browns playbook and just try to limit him the whole game, but obviously the Colts don't have anyone named Joe Hayden, so that was an oversight. I should have not called him a bench. What can you do?
No, he had a good game. I think they tried to figure out how to get him the ball. And, you know, Indy's defense I kind of liked as a sleeper, maybe a streaming defense this year. I'm off that right now. Their defense does not look good. With that said,
I had them too.
I like Lamar Miller. Didn't have a huge game, but after the week one disaster and people were panicking on Miller, I think he showed a little bit of what he could do. So I'm definitely feeling a little bit better about Lamar Miller. And if you had to ask me right now on the spot, would I rather have Miller or David Wilson going forward? I think I have to take Lamar Miller.
Yeah, well, that's an easy one.
Another player to me that I he only had four catches, but they were at key times. He had a touchdown. Fleener, obviously, highly skilled. He was a second-round pick last year. The offensive coordinator was the coach for Luck and Fleener at Stanford. Fleener's a guy to keep on your radar. You know, a lot of guys I find stream tight ends right now, but Fleener, to me, that was a step in the right direction yesterday.
I mean, you can't disagree with that it was a step in the right direction, but Dwayne Allen didn't play. I still think he's the more talented of the tight end of those two tight ends. You know, he was downgraded to doubtful Saturday, so he'll probably try to play next week. So I'm still not trusting Fleener, but it was a step in the right direction. Talk about step in the right direction. Your boyfriend, T.Y. Hilton, what a game.
You know what? Hilton did have a great game, but I'm not all over T.Y. Hilton. I was actually the guy that was saying, get Darius Hayward Bay. But at this point now, I think he's droppable. Obviously, Hilton looks like the main guy there.
It's ironic that you call Darius Hayward Bay droppable because his hands are droppable.
Okay, I think that's it on that game. Kansas City and Dallas. Real quick on this, everyone, I think, was who we thought they would be. Anyone in particular? Obviously, Dez Bryant looks like a beast. Anyone else that worth commenting on in that game?
Yeah, I mean, Dez is a beast, yeah. But Romo, I didn't like him this week, you know, with the ribs injury. I think Kansas City's a little bit for real. It kind of really reminds me of that 49ers team from 2 years ago with Alex Smith there at QB. You know, a really, really good playmaking running back, a solid defense. I'm not saying that they're going to go, you know, 13-3 or anything, but I think they're a playoff team.
This is Murph. You can follow me on Twitter at ThatMurph, and this is the Carnage Report from Week 2. Shane Vereen is dealing with a hand injury. He's going to have surgery and is likely going to be out until Week 11. So really no reason to keep him on your rosters. There's really no telling who Belichick's going to give the carries to at this time. So it's all a guessing game. Danny Amendola still dealing with the groin injury. Reports say he could be out 4 to 6 weeks. And owners, if, you know, Julian Edelman's still out there, you need to go grab him. But it's unlikely because he was a hot waiver wire ad last week. We're really hoping to see Gronkowski out there for the Patriots. Belichick, Brady, everybody misses him. So let's keep an eye out to see if he practices this week. Reggie Bush, as said before, was going in with a pretty bad injury. Nicked up. He was injured today, again, against the Cardinals, entering the game with minor injuries. Bush took a hit to the leg, injured his knee. There is an MRI pending, so we need to look out for that. But as of right now, if Joique Bell's on the waiver wire, go ahead and grab him. Could be a huge week in Week 3 against the Redskins. Ray Rice, strained hip flexor. Non-contact injury, and his status is going to be up in the air. Look out for Bernard Pierce to be a Week 3 starter if Rice is out. Eddie Lacy unfortunately suffered a major concussion. Basically what happened was Jonathan Franklin did not go in. James Starks did get 20 carries for 132 yards, surprising everybody. This backfield's kind of a mess, but keep an eye on Lacy's status for Week 3. Really uncertain at this point. Two of the old guys found themselves on the injury list this week. MJD injured his ankle against the Raiders and didn't appear in the second half. Before he left, he did run 10 times for 27 yards, disappointing fantasy owners yet again. Steven Jackson left with what is being described as a quad injury, and his status is somewhat uncertain. Larry Fitzgerald was rehabbing a sore hamstring all week long leading up into Week 2. He was on the field and managed to catch just two passes for 33 yards before he was out of the game. Could be a player to avoid until he's back to 100%. Andre Johnson, another big game. But Johnson was unavailable for interviews because he was being evaluated for a concussion. Another issue to monitor until Week 3. Malcolm Floyd was off to a hot start before getting leveled by Eagles linebacker D'Amico Ryans. If you saw this hit, really nasty. And luckily for Floyd, he seems to be okay. Probably not going to play next week, but if you have Floyd on your roster, keep an eye on that. Two quarterbacks you shouldn't be starting, Brandon Whedon and Blaine Gabbert, both missing time due to hand injuries. If this report is impacting your fantasy roster, you have bigger problems than finding a replacement QB. San Francisco 49ers tight end Vernon Davis left Sunday's night game against the Seattle Seahawks with a hamstring injury and did not return. The seriousness of the injury is unknown, but rookie Vance McDonald could be a sneaky pickup if Davis misses time. The Indianapolis Colts are all beat up. Their wide receiver Darius Heyward-Bey dealing with multiple injuries. Tight end Dwayne Allen nursing a hip injury, and running back Vic Ballard will most likely miss the remainder of the season with a torn ACL. Running back Ahmad Bradshaw, tight end Kobe Fleener, and wide receiver T.Y. Hilton all get a bump in production with an increased workload. Falcons' Julio Jones exploded for a huge game while dealing with a knee injury prior to kickoff, while Roddy White wasn't so lucky as it looks like the ankle injury he's been bothered with all season is finally affecting his production. You might want to avoid White going into week three. Hope your team's made it through the carnage of week two, and until next time, keep those fantasy rosters healthy. This is Murph.
The Razzball Podcast.
Next up, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Obviously, the delay with the weather. Weather affected the game, but I think the key statement there was Jimmy Graham is probably what you paid for, JB.
Yeah, totally. I think after the first week, a lot of people were wondering, oh, should I have waited on tight end? I wrote that I was hoping to get Graham by mid-second round if he fell to me, and then if not, go late. So the couple of weeks where I did get Graham, looking great. 16 targets, 10 for 179 touchdown. That's what you're hoping for, and you got it. And he's obviously the best tight end in the league.
Something interesting out of that game, too, I started hearing yesterday some trade chatter that the Josh Freeman is unhappy and might be asking for a trade out of Tampa Bay. Just something to keep an eye on. Not that he has a lot of value, but it could affect some of the other skill position players there. Obviously, it didn't affect Doug Martin yesterday. And I think even though the Saints' defense is a lot closer to the defense it was 2 years ago compared to the cluster bomb it was last year, Muscle Hamster looked pretty good as well.
Yeah, he did, and it's good to see that he can have good games even when your quarterback goes 9 for 22 for 125 yards. I mean, that Josh Freeman looks brutal. I mean, if he doesn't get traded, he might get benched.
Yeah, absolutely. That defense, though, starting to look real good. Obviously, Mark Ingram, you know, not a great back. At least he hasn't shown anything yet, but I thought there was a chance that Mark Ingram could have some value, but he could find no daylight against the defensive line yesterday.
Yeah, and they're still splitting carries three ways, with Pierre Thomas getting 5, Sproles 7, Ingram 8, and then Sproles, obviously, the only guy you really want.
I think they were just trying to find getting something to work yesterday. But Arizona-Detroit, interesting game. Here's my key takeaway. Two key takeaways for me. Reggie Bush, obviously, if you own him, it's going to be touch and go all season long. I was very big on him. I still think at the end of the year, the stats will be there. The numbers will be there. I like Reggie Bush a lot. But the other key takeaway for me is Andre Ellington, the rookie running back out of Clemson, had a great camp for them, very underrated. I got a couple spies down in Arizona who were at a lot of camp scrimmages and practices. They were using Ellington a lot. I think he might emerge as a flex option. Just because of how he's used, but the fact also that Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, Andre Roberts really taking the top off the defense. There's going to be a lot of room for a guy like him. So Andre Ellington is a guy I might even pick up in a couple leagues this year, or this week, excuse me.
Interesting. I'm maybe not quite as high on him because I thought Rashard Mendenhall looked really good again. I think he was a great value if you drafted him where you did. In PPR, yeah, I can see Ellington probably needing to be added in some leagues, but I think a lot of his value will be tied into catches. I kind of see him as, you know, that Jaquizz Rodgers kind of role from last year.
I think Ellington actually is more skilled than that, and I just have a feeling. I mean, I'm just throwing it out. It's a gut feeling, but I got a feeling that Ellington might be really interesting this year. Speaking of waiver wires, let's see what Sky's got.
You can find me on Twitter at Sky. _Razzball, and I'm going to hand out some pickups for this week. First up is Ryan Tannehill. I talked extensively about him over the off season, but he's currently 16% owned, and he has had a stalled start with about 591 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Even though that doesn't sound exciting, he gets the Atlanta Falcons, who have given up back-to-back 350-yard passing games. And if Miami falls behind early, Tannehill's going to get to chuck it all day. Next up, James Starks, 9% owned. I'm not really certain about Lacy's injury and whether or not he's going to make next week, but given Starks' performance today, he's given himself a chance to at least get into a running back by committee situation, and you never know how those pan out. So I would suggest you go pick up Starks if you're in need of some running back help. Next up is probably the just most disgusting call I'm ever going to make in my entire life. It's Jason Snelling. He's a 0% owned. I highly doubt Steven Jackson's injury to his thigh is that bad, and I'm actually not even suggesting you waste a waiver bid on this guy. But it's not going to be Jaquizz Rodgers that gets to tote the ball if Steven Jackson is out. It's going to be Snelling because Jaquizz Rodgers is just not that good snapping to him and giving him the ball. Next up, another deep league. You don't even have to make this move if you don't have to. It's Charles Clay. He's 2% owned. He's got 163 receiving yards on the year on 10 receptions, and he actually got to carry a goal line touchdown in today. So if you're knee-deep in a deep league and you don't know what to do at tight end, Charles Clay, definitely a reasonable pickup. You might even get another roll to touchdown this weekend. And last one, because I already let off my title post with it, it's got to be Eddie Royal, 19% owned. Dude has 5 touchdowns in 2 games. What can you do? You got to go pick him up. He's got had seven receptions today for 90 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he looks to be a target for Phillip Rivers, so you got to go pick him up. All right, and with that, Nick and Kyle, make me sound pretty like I'm Bob Costas and drag or something.
The Razzball Podcast.
Giants and Broncos. Broncos ran away with it. I know you mentioned earlier you think David Wilson might be a buy low. Just real quick on that. We don't need to harp on that, but what do you think about David Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't really give him that much of an option, that many looks, but it was a game where, you know, Wilson has fumbleitis in week one and then plays the most elite offense in the NFL in week two. You know, so obviously the Giants had to throw all game. So, you know, going against the Panthers, it's going to be, if he holds on to the ball, I think he'll have actually a pretty good game. And that's me saying play David Wilson next week.
The most interesting thing I saw there, and I think you could definitely call him a post-hype sleeper, Sean Marino obviously won the job because he can block. And with all the pass catchers they have there, they got to rely on a running back who can protect Peyton. But, you know, Sean, I think the reason he never evolved was it was always the knee injuries. I could see him, if he can stay healthy, having a really good year. I think he's definitely cemented now as a starter there. And I think he could be really useful going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. Monty Ball is the only other back that got work, and he had a fumble and didn't look very good. Ronnie Hillman only got one touch, so I think this is Moreno's backfield. And, you know, next week playing against Oakland, I think he's a must start. But another takeaway for me was that Eric Decker got 13 targets, caught 9 for 87. You know, not exactly a huge game, but I think Manning's just going to spread the ball around ad nauseum to this offense.
That's going to happen. Whatever the defense tries to take away, he's got other guys. And that's why, again, I think Marino is going to be the one consistent guy out of that entire offense.
Yeah. I mean,
other than Peyton.
Well, yeah. I think you're starting everyone, though. I think you still are starting Decker, Walker, Thomas. So I think you're starting all.
Yeah, Julius Thomas. I am in now. He is
legit.
Yeah,
I think I said earlier that I started Jared Cook over him in a couple leagues, which was horrible. But, you know, I like Thomas a lot, but speaking of spreading the ball around, they're playing Oakland on Monday Night Football. I don't think that game's going to be even close. So I might play Cook again. It's going to be another coin flip.
Okay. I don't even want to talk about the Oakland-Jacksonville game, but let's wrap up on this. Do we have to talk about it?
No. You got to monitor MJD's ankle. That's about the only thing to take away from that.
Also, just I'm not saying to pick him up, but keep an eye out on Ace Sanders for Jacksonville.
Interesting. And keep your eye on Justin Blackmon, because Jacksonville looks terrible. And when he's back from suspension, I think he could get a lot of jump yards.
Who do you like in the Steelers-Bengals game for Monday Night Football?
Steelers look terrible. Lost the offensive lineman. I think this game will be close, but I'm going to stick with the Bengals.
All right. You can follow JB Gilpin on Twitter at JBGILPIN. You can follow me at Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi. Thanks for tuning in for the Razzball Football Podcast for week two. We'll be back next week. Also next week, we'll also have Jay Wrong join us as well. He just couldn't make it. But yeah, hopefully you're liking it. If you got any comments or questions, you are totally welcome. Send me a tweet. And again, if you need some start-sit advice, JB is great for that. You got anything else, JB?
No, just if you want to hear more David Wilson jokes, let us know. And hopefully he actually does bad against the Panthers and we can keep it going.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.